This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Iowa Congressman Steve King, a Republican representing the Hawkeye State's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Judiciary Committee. We want to get his thoughts as reports suggest that Congressional Democrats as well as the Obama White House are pushing closer and closer to legislation coming to the floor that would repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, which allows states to refuse to recognize marriages performed in other states. And particularly, this is a major issue in the fight over gay marriage. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
The best as you can tell, what's the status of this legislation from the Democratic perspective? How much momentum does it have right now?
It's awfully hard to tell. There's so many things that are just lurking around behind the scenes, and they're looking for an opportunity to find a window to move it. And on this one, my sense is that Jerry Dantler is pushing pretty hard. He's the chairman of the Constitution Subcommittee. He's in a position to move a piece of legislation if he gets the assent of the chairman Conyers, and they work together pretty closely. So I'm concerned that something could move here, although I think if the American people see it coming, they're going to rise up and let them know what they think.
As many of our listeners are aware, of course, your state, by judicial fiat earlier this year, legalized gay marriage and did not even put a restriction on requiring that those gay couples getting married be from Iowa. What has been the impact on your state as a result of that decision?
Well, we've had a significant percentage of people that come to Iowa as same-sex couples to get married. And that percentage is up there someplace over a fourth, if I remember correctly, on the data that I have seen. And I don't know that anything is complete at this point. I said that if this is allowed to stand, Iowa will become the mecca for same-sex marriage, and that is becoming the case. I know that there have been buses that have gone to Iowa with loads of people in them in order to get married under the judge-made law. And I believe that the judge-made law in Iowa is an extra-constitutional decision. It's completely not based on constitution or constitutional rights. They draw an assumption that a same-sex couple is similarly situated to opposite-sex couples, and therefore they are covered by the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. And we know that they are not similarly situated, but once you assume that, the rest of the logic follows. And I said at the time that if this can stand in Iowa, they will use this rationale in other states, and it looks like they're using it in the federal courts in the district that is dealing with a case in Massachusetts right now.
Congressman, you articulated very well the basics of the argument that is being used in favor of gay marriage in your state and around the country. When folks come up to you and criticize you for being opposed to it, what do you tell them? Why are you in favor of preserving traditional marriage and traditional marriage only under that sort of relationship?
Well, there's plenty of biblical foundation for marriage being between a man and a woman. And coupled with that foundation is a long tradition of law and culture. All of our human experience joins a man and a woman together in matrimony, and our most valuable human experience joins them together in holy matrimony. And to argue that there's some other relationship that could compete with real marriage, and they have not made the case. There's the merits of marriage, or there's natural law that guides marriage between a man and a woman, and there's biblical law that guides marriage between a man and a woman. And there's no case that I can see that's been made that anybody is discriminated against. Anyone can marry someone of the opposite sex, but there really is no right to marriage. Now, this is an argument that I've been making that I don't hear really anyplace else, and that is that we provide in state law for a marriage license. A license is, by definition, a permit to do that which is otherwise illegal. We set up laws and licenses for fishing, hunting, driving, because we want to regulate and promote positive behavior. Well, we've been promoting marriage through the state laws for generations to promote the positive behavior of a man and a woman for the purposes of raising children, and the cornerstone of our civilization is rooted in marriage itself. So marriage between a man and a woman being the cornerstone of civilization is far too precious to allow a judge or a panel of judges to amend the law and amend the Constitution by fiat.
Congressman, it was just about a dozen years ago, maybe a little more, 13 years ago, I guess, that the Defense of Marriage Act was passed overwhelmingly in the House and Senate, signed into law without any real objection by President Clinton at the time. Obviously, we've had a major Supreme Court case since then and a lot of active work by pro-gay organizations to move this agenda forward. But what do you think has been the big difference over the past decade or so? Why is this gaining so much traction?
I think that it is because we have a number of very, very rich homosexual activists that have engaged themselves in the political arena, especially at the state level. And they've discovered that if they've got a few million dollars, they can go in and change the majority in the state legislatures, which they were involved in doing in the Iowa legislature, Colorado legislature, and a number of efforts in other states. And in the process of doing that, where the campaign coffers for a state legislator get full from out-of-state homosexual activist money, that has changed the politics at the local level. And even though we have the seven judges that wrote a unanimous opinion in Iowa, the Supreme Court judges, and I reject that opinion and the rationale behind it completely, but the inability of the legislature to bring up a constitutional amendment to correct the judge-made law has been eliminated temporarily because of the strong Democrat majorities in the Iowa House and the Iowa Senate, and those majorities are at least in part dependent upon the campaign funds that come from out-of-state homosexual activists.
Congressman, you've explained how difficult it is to amend your state's constitution, needing the legislature to go through the process before it ever gets to the people. Are you still confident? I know back when we talked at the time of the court's decision, you were confident that if it ever got to the people, they would overwhelmingly choose traditional marriage only. There's a new poll out showing it's pretty much split in the state. Do you think there's a shift, or do you think if it still got on the ballot in a couple of years from now that the folks would choose traditional marriage?
I think that there's been a little bit of a shift, and part of it is because people have not noticed a change around them. And they're teaching the young people that there is an equal protection right to same-sex marriage, and then they will argue that it doesn't affect your marriage. You can still marry a person of the opposite sex in the same fashion you always could. We haven't come to grips with this thing very well yet, in that there's not a very good understanding of what same-sex marriage does to the overall institution of marriage itself. And we need to carry that argument out, and let's do that over the next couple of years and get this on the ballot so that Iowa isn't the only state outside of the Northeast that has same-sex marriage within it. And I just would extend that rationale and argue this, that if marriage is something other than a reunion between one man and one woman, if the argument is that there's an equal protection laws, if there's a right to same-sex marriage, if that right exists, then that means Rick Santorum was right. The right also exists for any other relationship that one might argue. There would exist no ban, no rational foundation to prohibit incest, for example, between a father and a son, or a daughter or a mother and a son or a daughter, for example, or brothers and sisters. Every civilization has had a prohibition towards incest, and every civilization has at least promoted a relationship between a man and a woman, even though some have tolerated same-sex relationships more or less than others. But if there also would be no rational argument against group marriage, and I just take this along the rationale even further and would say, if relationships between individuals cannot be prohibited by the state legislature, then there's no ban that can actually be constitutional that would ban group marriage. And it wouldn't have to be for reasons of, let me say, love or lust. It could be reasons of profitability or avoiding taxes or accessing benefits. So in the end, this is something that has to come with if there's a push for a socialist society, a society where the foundations of individual rights and liberties are undermined and everybody is thrown together living collectively off of one pot of resources earned by everyone. This is one of the goals they have to go to, is same-sex marriage, because it has to plow through marriage in order to get to their goal. They want public affirmation. They want access to public funds and resources. Eventually, all those resources will be pooled because that's the direction we're going. And not only is it a radical social idea, it is a purely socialist concept in the final analysis.
Congressman, last question before we let you go, and I guess I'm ending kind of where we started, and that's with the push behind this bill. You mentioned Congressman Nadler as being pretty aggressive. Given the majorities the Democrats have now and how those might change following the midterm elections next year, do you expect this to be put on the agenda either late this year or sometime next year?
I'm reluctant to predict whether I think it will be. I think it's more likely that it not be on this year. I don't know how it might be opening up in the early part of next year, and I just say that because there are so many big things on the agenda. I think it's going to be hard to schedule it and get that kind of a debate in the middle of a health care debate, a cap and trade debate, and a comprehensive amnesty debate that looks like it's coming at us as well.
Certainly is. Congressman, thanks as always for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Absolutely. Iowa Congressman Steve King represents the Hawkeye State's 5th Congressional District, member of the House Judiciary Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for World Net Daily.